along to another episode of Capturing Calm. It is so nice to see you here today. I'm Ellie McDonald. I'm delighted to have you join me as we embark on another episode where photography meets mindfulness. And whether you're an experienced photographer, a mindfulness practitioner, or just curious about either of these, this episode is another doorway into a world where every click of the shutter is a step into presence and awareness. In this episode, we are going to delve into the world of mindful photography with the incredibly talented Becky Cross. Becky's journey into photography began from a desire to capture the world around her, a path that led her from the joy of happy snapping to a profound exploration of the emotional landscapes shaped by our environment. Through her lens, Becky discovers a unique buffer between herself and the world, allowing her to process her emotions, stresses, and feelings in a way that bring clarity and understanding. Her photography has become a form of mindfulness, enabling her to connect deeply with her surroundings, whether it's the regal decay of a rusty crane or the evolving stories of childhood alleyways and eroding cliffsides. So without further ado, here is my fantastic conversation with Becky. Thank you so much for joining me on Capturing Calm today, Becky. It's fantastic to have you here. I've been really excited about this conversation. I just wanted to ask if you could introduce yourself and how you came on this mindful photography journey.
Okay, well, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to do this. Loving all your posts and all your pictures. And how deep they're going is brilliant. I'm really enjoying your journey along with you. How did I get into it? I've always been a creative. I've always wanted to make things, not always very successfully. Just what's in my head, I've always sort of wanted to get the pens out or the paper out and make stuff. So it's always been there, never really been encouraged or nurtured too much. Then in hindsight, looking back, I've always been the one taking the photographs. And it wasn't until about 8 years ago that I got a job as a photographer as a school photographer. And I learned the depths of photography craft through that, and then found my own confidence and started to explore the world around me. Happy snapping, I guess, is the word. Just what I saw was made me happy, so I snapped it. I didn't really think much more about it, not realizing the depth of the journey that it was taking me on. One of my family members mentioned how good one of my photographs was, and again I was like, really? It's just something that makes me happy. And it was very rusty, breaking down crane, like a leftover crane, and there was something emotional that caught me by this crane. I got right in nitty-gritty bits of its wires that were showing and its handles that were sort of falling apart, and yet with its grandeur of the height of this crane and still its the chain still hanging on it, it just had something very regal and its own ownership, even though it was decaying, it was dying, it had its life and it was now transitioning into another life. Now this is me able to put this quite good into words now because I'm 8 years on. At the time I was just like, wow, this is really cool. And that's how it started. I then started to realize without any conscience that I was taking I needed to take pictures rather than wanted to take pictures. I wanted to get out with my camera. And as time's gone by, I've realised that it is the only way I can work out the world to make sense to me. Any of my emotions, any of my stresses, my feelings, even if the pictures aren't great, the lens between me and real life, the lens gives me this buffer to sort of filter through things and work out my place and my identity in this world.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. That's a really incredible introduction. And
thank you.
So you started off sort of happy snapping, as you put it so well, because that's exactly how I started as well. And then that took you on to studying photography, didn't it? How did that evolve? How did that come about?
So as I said, I am still working for a school photography company. And I was reached out on LinkedIn. I've got to remember this now. I was reached out on in LinkedIn that they were just looking for people to see if they're interested in their classes, really, in their course. And it's honestly nothing too romantic. That is how it happened. I contacted them, Falmouth University, contacted them. We had a chat, and I had to put in a piece of work. It could have been anything, just a group of photos, and explain what it meant to me. And and here I am almost 2 years in, coming to the end of my MA, and it has been an awesome, awesome journey. I really don't want it to stop, to be fair. I've learned so much. I've met so many great people, and I know it's like a bit of a cliche, but it is really true. It's taken me to places that I never ever thought my brain or my emotions or my heart or my practice would ever go down. And through studying, I'm starting to see a form of my practice, but I still feel like there's so much more that I want to explore. Whereas a lot of people have got their set practice, and that's sort of how they work, I don't feel like I'm quite there yet. I jump between things and have a few projects going on at the same time. Ironically, because when I started the journey studying photography, I heard people where a few years in from me saying they've got all these projects, and my brain just exploded thinking, oh my God, how can you manage 3 or 4 projects at once? I can barely work out what I've got to do. And I had this thought the other day, actually thinking, oh my God, I'm actually there. I have these projects. I'm not saying I work on them every day. I certainly don't, because I need space in my head to work out what the next bit is. But there's definitely multiple journeys running at once when it comes to my practice and photography, but they all tend to link together. Somehow they'll all be connected in some way, whether that be with nature, whether it be with identity, whether it be with memory. They're the set themes that I tend to hold on to through my practice.
Mm-hmm. And so just touching on like place, memory and landscapes and things like that, how do you find that mindful photography or a mindful practice helps you navigate the like emotions that are related to place and memory and maybe like environmental change and things like that? Does it help you at all in that way?
It does help me. So my mindful photography, like I said just a minute ago, it tends to come through the lens rather than me being thinking prior to that. I might think, oh, I haven't visited a certain place for a while, let's have a wander around there. I'll have, prior to taking photographs, there's a desire to get out and have a walk about and get a feeling for something, whether it's somewhere new, whether it's just the same old walk that I do every day, or when the weather allows me. There's some kind of draw for my own mindfulness and my own sanity, I guess, to get outside. It could be an urban outside, it could be even if I'm driving, I'm opening the window and looking at the outside of the trees and their shapes and the way they're connecting with me as much as I'm needing to connect with them. So my practice is very much between me then sort of the visual walk through the lens and then the image, which, because looking through the camera narrows the image, even if I'm looking at a huge landscape space area. I live near the seaside, so there's a lot of seaside erosion going on. There's a lot of changes all the time. Mm-hmm. It can be a little bit overwhelming at times, knowing childhood spaces that has been lost to the sea. memories then have gone with that as well. But because the lens only gives me a narrow space, really, it's not giving me the whole world or the whole space that I'm looking at. That's where my mindfulness, it gives me a parameter to deal with this space or vision or even headspace. It gives me a set parameter that I can deal with, that, and that's my mindfulness moment, that all I can see is what the camera is allowing me in these in the parameters that it's given me. And that, I guess, is a bit like sitting on a yoga mat. You're in this parameter space. It's allowing you to practice something within this area. If you go to a, even if you're walking down the street and you're thinking to quiet your mind, there's still a parameter within that mind you're quieting. And that's what it still gives me. That's what my practice gives me with that mindfulness. Changes with memory has been a difficult path for me to to take myself down, because we all believe our memory is true and it really isn't. It's so many different interpretations to our memory. I recently done a project on a childhood alleyway that I remember clearly in my memory, and the joys that it took me from the seaside to my friends' houses and back home, and that, and I just went back down that alleyway and explored it, and again it gave me those parameters to stay, to not get overwhelmed and stay between, and it was one of my best places for me to be mindfully and photography, because all I could see was forward, back, or up and down. There was very, very little view, and it stopped that overwhelm, it stopped that confusion, and it took me to a very tight place with leaves and shadow movements, and I repeated it over a few months. So I was there in the spring and the summer of last year, so it gave me different lighting and gave me different emotions as I was walking down there. I was having this memory of a childhood memory, and then I was reminding myself I'm now a grown woman and all the experiences that I've gone through, how am I bringing that into this space? And it helped me deal with good memories, helped me deal with bad memories, it helped me deal with childhood trauma, it helped me put things, like I said earlier, put things in a space that I can manage and I can deal with, and I can sift through, even if that space has evolved and it, the alleyway is showing age with memory, because it's, you know, it's 30 years on, so there's age that I can see in it, and the paintwork's a little bit aged, the flower, you know, there's this time movement in it.
Well, I was going to say, I really, really like the parameters. There's actually a lot of stuff I really loved about what you just said there, but the parameters thing was great. That really stuck out, because when I feel exactly the same when I look through my camera, and it's just that square, it brings everything down for me. I've spoken to another photographer who loves landscapes, like vast landscapes. And for me, I find that really overwhelming, and I find that too much. And when I bring it down into that square, I can really relate to that. And I've never actually thought about it in a kind of, that's my parameter, and that's what my, maybe my brain or my emotion or my feelings can handle at that time. So I really like that parameter idea. And that really does translate really nicely into the alleyway. And with the alleyway that you were talking about, and I've seen your photos and they're fantastic, and I'll make sure, well, we'll share all your work on the show notes so people can have a look, but the alleyway is great, because it really has helped you to not push down those emotions and feelings by using that space as a space to take photos and to study and to be with, and it means you're not, I suppose, suppressing things. It's helped you to bring those things up and then get over things, which I find really powerful, amazing. And then also the aging of the alleyway, that's a really nice way to kind of relate to your own aging, relate to how you've changed in that 30 years. So really, really interesting. Really like the alleyway project and how that's helped you. And I think a lot of people can really relate to that. And if we do go back and take photos of perhaps somewhere we've been in our childhoods, or somewhere that really resonates with us in our memories, it can be a real healing practice.
Oh yeah, definitely. I I had a lot of people giggle at me when I was like, oh, I'm taking a picture of an alleyway. But then when you break it down, that alleyway gave me more content than just, for me, just sitting on a vista and looking out in the the wide landscape. And the other place I visited when I as memory was the cliff area where I grew up and I played a lot, and that transitioned into, although so the alleyway was a very structured place, a man-made structured place, it was there for a reason. When it was built, the cliff area is much more of a wilderness that we don't often find. It is this wilderness, not necessarily top of it, because it has been created into a man's preferred space, place, humans, not man, sorry, humans replace placement. But the cliffs itself is incredibly wild. It you're not going to stop it from eroding. You're not going to stop that ocean from taking it. And again, that transition, it broke my heart to not be able to walk in the same footsteps as I had as a child and see things that were at the top of the cliffs a few years ago now at the base and in the sea. But it gave me a space to see the transition as well within life, that we're not the same as we were as a child. There has been this journey, and some things have fallen away, and some, but those things that have fallen away have also found their own place, and almost like a new journey. Emotions find a new journey. So that, although that was a much vaster space to look at than the alleyway, it still gave me a understanding of acceptance from that memory, even though that memory was lost to another place.
Yeah, I suppose photography is really like serving as a medium for you then to heal, I guess. Connecting with the land and how it's changing is also allowing you to heal from perhaps past trauma or, you know, things that may have happened before, which is actually an incredible way. And especially, I guess you're lucky in a way because you do live near the coast, so there is that real kind of tangible change, whereas maybe somewhere else there wouldn't be. But actually, I'm thinking about that now, but even when I go out walking, you know, I walk in the woodland usually and it changes every day. So yeah, I think if we do kind of look at that change in the landscape and look at that change in the environment and then relate it to ourselves, it can be a really healing journey, as you've obviously experienced. It's amazing.
And I think even if it was an urban space, there's still those micro changes going on. There's still a movement of people coming in and out. There's still a movement of industry of some sort coming in and out. Even if that's over a period of time and it's not taken away by a major storm or anything like that, which a cliff may alter from a major storm, there's still those minute changes that you can focus on. And through photography or through mindfulness as well, focus on even the smallest things of the plants that grow between the cracks of the pavements. They fascinate me because I'm their advocate. I want to cheer them on. I want to say, yeah, come on. You know, we've put this concrete down and you're still going, I'm growing here no matter what you do. I'm setting my roots here. And I really champion those changes that we can find, those minute changes, and even the daisies that are going to start coming up soon within the springtime. You know, I kind of think of them sat there just waiting, just sort of tapping their fingers a little bit and waiting, and they're going to grow. And then it doesn't matter how many gardeners try and get rid of them, they're coming. Those daisies are coming because that's their place, that's their route, that's their journey, that's their space to grow and for someone to see it.
Mm-hmm. I had a question for you actually, and it's kind of related. You've kind of covered it, but I'm going to go on a different little angle. But I was wondering how the environmental transformations, they've obviously influenced your projects and your practice in photography in the MA, and but like personally, What kind of messages are you, or feelings or emotions are you trying to convey through your work to the viewer as opposed to for you? So what do you want the viewer to take away from your work or your photos? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And it's a question through the MA that is asked a lot, and it's a question that I often sit and I have no idea, because my immediate step into it is going back to that happy snapper, that there's nothing wrong with happy snapping, because it evokes some sort of emotion. You've seen something, you've liked it, or you've seen something, you've questioned it, you've seen something and you're wondering about it. It's quite a hard, I find it quite a hard question to answer. I would, and I think how I'd like the viewer to see it still interacts with my emotions of the original take and why I took it. I don't think, for me, there's a lot of change between how I'm taking it and what someone else is seeing. Now, the reason they see it differently is going to all be down to their experiences. And memory, again, for the environmental side of things, I don't see it on a daily, I don't see it change daily, it's sort of seasonal. But again, someone that maybe came as a child for their summer holiday to the area that I live in would then see a change, and it's that evoking that memory again, that, oh, something that's not here, or that wasn't here. Well, we've all done that. We've all gone back to somewhere that we have visited as a child and go, oh, it wasn't like that when we were young. Now, was it, or is it just our memory confusing us and telling us what we want to remember as being this great space, or was it really how it is? And that's not just childhood, that's adult memory as well. I guess fundamentally, what I'd like the viewer to take away from it is a little piece of their own identity, a little piece of their own memory, and questioning the world, not themselves, I guess, questioning the world. And if it's to do with coastal erosion, or if it's to do with a climate issue, there's that question, and I, not even an answer, because there's often not an answer at the end of it. I guess I'd like the viewer to take away and question things themselves. And I think maybe then go on to use it to help their own creativity, whether that be writing, whether that just be gaming, even, and seeing something within a game, whether that be writing poetry, or watching a film, and that the nuances of our daily experience finding a link to what they've seen, either within my photography or within the space of my photography. One of the things I'd done with the alleyway is I started to make postcards of it and put their location on it, and then I'd hide these little, only homemade postcards with the picture and the location in, you know, the libraries, the free libraries in the old telephone boxes, and post them into the little books.
Great.
And so you could see the image and then go on Google and put in the location and then go back to that place. So it was only an alleyway, so it didn't really change that much of the location. But that's something that I would like to pick up on again, and sort of giving that photography its own journey and letting the audience find it and find their own journey, or just use it as a bookmark. It really doesn't matter, or just like put it in the drawer for a relative to find one day and think, oh, what's this, and what does this, you know, 50 years time, are we going to need these coordinates or well, I don't know. But it was something that
I didn't know you'd done that, and I think that's I just love that idea.
I'd forgotten until I'd done that, actually. I just said, I was like, oh, yeah, it's part of him.
Yeah. I mean,
it was really cool to do. It was really cool.
I bet it was.
I felt a bit
really
cheeky
cool.
And naughty. I was like, oh, wonder who's going to find this.
I'd love to hear if anyone has found them. The listeners on this podcast is not high enough. We already found anyone, but if anyone has, I'd love to hear.
I hadn't quite got the skills to put a QR code or anything on it yet. So
I wouldn't know how to do that either.
No, unless there's an influencer somewhere that I'm like, that's mine. Yeah, I'm not sure. And he's, but even that, like I said just now, the ending isn't really the bigger picture. That's what I found with these homemade postcards. The ending didn't matter to me at all, where they ended up. They're going to end up somewhere. They're going to create their own journey somewhere. My imagination gives them a journey. Me just putting them out there gave them the start of this journey, that I could go back to the same place and find them, and then that's their journey because they're returning to me. The end doesn't really matter to me. It's the journey, again, another cliche, but it really is the journey of me reaching out there to an audience to say it's an open audience, really.
I really like that. It's almost a challenge for them to try and see or find something in that photo that, or in that space that perhaps they've not thought about before. I mean, when I've looked at your work, I get two reactions to it. The first is that I look at it and think, look, I don't know what we're doing to this planet, like, but there's something wrong here. Something's going wrong. But in the same thought, I also think, look at nature taking it back, because a lot of your photos do show us how whatever we make as humans, it eventually does crumble and nature does come back. And I really like that kind of, there's a juxtaposition, I guess is the word, through some of your photos. It's kind of scary to see the world changing in quite a fast and dramatic way, but also kind of there's an element of hope there, particularly with the alleyway, that their life does find its way back, which I really like. And also the other thing that I find when I look at your photos is it does, I've mentioned this earlier, it does actually make me think about how I age and change as I go through my life. So yeah, I think that's quite similar to what you're feeling when you take the photos or you do the project. So it definitely does relate. It definitely does come through what you're trying to convey, if that ramble made any sense at all.
that makes a lot of sense, because when I'm photographing the cliffs, especially because it's on the North Sea and it can be quite a violent place within nature, it's very much I very much see it as a battle, but not a battle of strength, not a battle of who's going to win, because neither side are going to win. The tide is going to come in and take its little piece every time. And the cliffs are just given a little bit at a time, almost like I see it almost like a war in hide and seek. Who's going to win next? Because the tide is coming in, looking for something to take away with it, and the cliff is just holding on to it, and then every now and then giving it a little piece. So it's very much a space of battle, but not that anyone's going to win ever. And I guess that's the same transition with humans and nature. There is this constant battle of who's the superior. We believe we're the superior. We're really not the superior.
No, not
if we
all.
Didn't do anything, nature is hugely the superior. You see that in the roads. There's a constant upkeep, because if there isn't, nature would take over. You see that in your garden, just, or on your plant pot, on your flat, on, you know, something outside your window. If you don't upkeep it, then nature will take over. So I find my photography often has tension in it, whether that's because that's me battling with my own emotions and there's tension there, my own traumas or through life, or questions or guilts or whatever, all those horrible emotions that we have to deal with, is that coming out in my photos? I don't know. I haven't worked out that answer yet, but there is often a tension in my photographs, but also a quietness, oddly. in it. And I do think that comes through for me, because I'm fairly quiet, but I'm questioning all the time.
No, it definitely comes through. It absolutely does come through. And there is, tension is a really good word, actually. Maybe more so than the battle between humans and nature. Like, I think tension is probably a better word. Yeah, I really like it. And it's definitely something that you can feel in your work. What are there any other landscapes or environmental issues or changes that you want to explore next? I mean, I know you said that there is loads more that you want to do. And do you ever want to contribute to any conservation work or awareness or anything like that?
What's next? So is there a space? There's not me actively thinking I want to go to this space at the moment. There's places nearby that I want to revisit. There's the old knobbly tree that is in Missley that I want to revisit. It's like 800 years old, and I've never visited it as a photographer. I visited it because it's in a parkland and it's just a really cool tree to be around. So there's local places like that I want to visit. A lot of it is history. A lot of it is connecting with ancestors that have been here, felt it, connected with the earth before. There's nothing. I'd love to get to Scotland and, you know, play about and really, and Cornwall, those raw spaces, I guess, is what I'm drawn to. Those real, as close to wilderness spaces as we could possibly get, I guess I'm drawn to those. For the environment, is there something I really want to actively get into? It's, I think through my photography is part, I'm already being a part of it already.
Yeah, I agree.
That I can't get away from. I don't have any huge plans of getting massively active into it. I mean, locally there's a Save the Nay space that is all about saving the tower, the cliffs that is going to get closer and closer and eventually fall down. I have had a few meetings with them, but nothing else is followed on. So I guess it's just community-based, local space to me that is connecting with me that eventually would link to the wiser issue of the world problems. I think it comes back to that perimeter. For me to think of the wider world problems overwhelms me, and my head goes back in that sand and I can't deal with it. So the only way I can contribute is to do things very locally for me. Little things I haven't done yet, but maybe I will take pictures of the overflowing bins in the seaside when it gets really busy in the seaside. It's something that hurts me a little bit that they're overflowing. There's this rubbish just overflowing, and there's this influx of people wanting to come and have this wonderful time by the seaside. But there is a responsibility there of this. If the bin is full, what do you do with it? And it's a personal responsibility. And it's not a them and us responsibility. It's as much as my responsibility as everybody else's responsibility. So I guess I'm always aware of issues, but not sort of a little dab of the toe into the issues, but not quite stepping right into it. Might be a bit of fear on my part, a bit of overwhelm on my part. I'm very conscious of my own mental health being affected by overwhelm. It's something I've learned over the last few years, and something that I've said that I use my photography for, and I have to be very, very aware of that. Otherwise it just messes my whole equilibrium of myself up, so I'm very aware of that. So I guess for me it is those local community steps that I can manage, as well as my own mental, emotional, physical safety as well.
No, I totally get that. I'm exactly the same. Like, overwhelm is a big thing for me. So I also wouldn't be able to throw myself into some big national campaign, but I think something local if we all did it, it would be a huge movement. And I think you're already doing it. And I just think what you're doing is fantastic. And what you're doing is a lot more than a lot of other people as well. So finally, before I let you go today, I just wanted to ask you, do you have any mindfulness techniques or rituals or practices that you use to connect deeply in with your photography or with the subjects that you take photos of? Or is it very much a sort of informal practice that you do? So yeah, what kind of practice, mindfulness practice, do you do with your photography?
A lot of my photography is a walking practice. I will wander around, even if it's a space I know, I'll wander around primary, I guess. That is the primary practice of walking. I get very much a connection of my feet on the earth, that rooting, that sort of I'm rooted to that space. And then after that is I'll notice something change, or I'll even if I don't have my camera, that is very much a primary. I will wander around and notice a change, notice the puddle that wasn't there yesterday, notice the bloom coming out at the moment, notice, oh wow, it's about 2 weeks early. Why is that 2 weeks early? I guess that's linking again to the environmental issues, and you know, is the climate changing and why is it changing? A lot comes in smells for me. I'm quite sensitive to smells. Daily changes as well. So smells is the wrong word. Sense, little tiny nuances of it. It's not like a big old smells just hit me in the face. It's that tiny little sense. Let's be a little bit more romantic. It's a scent. That comes in innately for me, without a conscience of it. That is there a lot. Even if it's just not even a smell, a feeling of the wind across my face or across my nose, and I'm not picking up on any scent. I sound like a dog. I'm not picking up on any scent here. Mm-hmm. But it's it is something that I follow. Guess I can talk, follow the scent. That I'm just noticing. It's something that I really pick up on and notice. Even someone walking past with a perfume or not, the smell of a church. Outside, it's very much a mindfulness place for me. Obviously by the sea we get a lot of seaweed scent, and we get a lot of the salt. Some days it's really salty in the air, some days it's not. When I'm alleyways can smell pretty rough at times when I'm down the alleyway, or on the cliffs you get a sandy smell. I think there's the mindfulness is a lot to do with the senses massively, or feeling the earth beneath my feet. Even if I've got my walking boots on, I'm feeling it. I'm consciously connecting with it. There's sense, I'm constantly connecting with that. There's visions, I'm constantly connecting with that. There's the touch going on. And all this again can link to overwhelm. Again, it's all linking back to that. How much am I taking in? How can I control this without overwhelm and without sort of taking too much on to for me to want to retreat and not do it. It's a balance. It's a massive balance on the, and I guess for mindfulness it is a balance. It's how much you can, so I can get into that space of mindfulness and not want to come out, and that's not healthy either. I just don't want to deal with life, so it's a really nice place to be and I don't want to go anywhere else, but that's not healthy either. So this whole balance is there across the board, and that's what the lens helps me do. I can balance that overwhelm, that wanting not to have the worries of life and the stresses of life. It is, that's what the lens does for me. It helps me balance everything in between. And then when you've got the photos, you can go back to them and you can work out your story and you can work out your feelings. And if you want to revisit that, to put it right, almost, I often re-photograph places because the feeling wasn't how I wanted to remember it. So I'm making up my own narrative and making up my own memory, or editing it in a way, post-editing it, not even to show, just post-editing it for me to see something different in it and to sort of create a different narrative that I want to be in, or I like a little bit more. Storytelling, falling down the rabbit hole with Alice and storytelling in my own way.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I'm the same. I like to edit to really bring that feeling or emotion out that I was feeling, because sometimes you can take the photo, but when you go back to it in post edit, you see something that what doesn't reflect how you felt there. So I think editing's really good for that. This is random, but and I don't know what the answer is, but you mentioned the scents and the smell. Do you, when you take a photo, can you, and look at it later, can you go back and still smell that smell, or does it still stay in your memory with when you look at a photo?
Yeah, definitely. It does now that I'm more conscious of it. When I look at childhood memories, when I look at childhood photographs, the main scent I'm picking up on is cooking, because we were quite a large family, so there was always a good meal. And I guess the scent of cooking I pick up on a lot. But being more conscious of it now, and the photographs I'm taking now, I can think of the scent and recall the emotion that I was feeling at the time, or the emotion or that photograph even, and go back and find it. It's very very connected to the scent, and the innate feeling within me is very connected to my photography. Yeah, very, very connected. More than I realised talking about it now, like, wow, yeah, there's a lot going on, and I guess that's why, going back to the perimeters, for my mindfulness and not to get overwhelmed, is that again there's those perimeters. So if I'm picking up on too much sensory stuff, and I am very sensory linked person, and I take that as a very positive thing when people have said, oh, you're too sensitive, I'm like, thank you very much, I don't want to be anything else. Yeah, but I have to manage it, I have to manage it myself, otherwise there's too much overwhelm and I can't cope. And I guess that sensory connection is what I'm getting through photography, and that's how I have to filter through to understand the world through the lens, and understand my place in the world and my identity in the world, to me, not to anybody else, not to how I'm expected to be, not to being a daughter or wife or a colleague or a sister or a mother, grandmother, anything like that. It's me, it's my identity and how I connect myself through the lens to the world.
That's beautiful. That's a really lovely place to end. Thank you so much, Becky. Where can our listeners find your work, your socials, your website? Where can they find you? Because they'll want to look, they'll want to see.
That's one of the things I'm not very good at, is remembering where everything is. So it's Becky at Root Shoots on Instagram and on Facebook. I've taken down the website at the moment purely because I'm redoing it all, and what was on there doesn't reflect who I am now. And that's where I want to go. I want to reflect who I am now and not just be in the mainstream I'm a photographer environment, culture. Nothing wrong with that, but that's not where I am. I want to move on, and I want my viewers, audience, to see where I am and connect that. So I'm not great at social media, but I am trying my best to be better at it. I'd done a month's worth of black and white images, and I'm now trying to go with the colour, and just for my own thing, really, just to see. I do tend to go with black and white, and I think it's my safe zone. I think, again, it's that I don't need to show too much to the world, so that's why I want to push myself and go into colour a little bit more and get these real hard blasts of colour, to see where it takes me. More than anything else, this journey is for me and my creative space, and see where it takes me, see what connects with my heart, really.
Yeah, amazing. And I'm on the same sort of journey as you. So it's really nice to share it with you, I guess. And it's I'm really excited to see how you grow and how what you do next. I think it's going to be fantastic because I think you've got a lot to share. So thank you so much, Becky, for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure.
It has. I've really enjoyed it. And I'm sorry if I sounded like a dog sniffing out a bone at one point.
You absolutely didn't. Thank you.
Thank you. That's kind of you. Thank you, Ellie. See you later. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining me today on Capturing Calm. I'm sure you'll agree that the conversation with Becky was really enlightening. I hope you check out her work and follow her on her socials as well to see how she gets on. Really important work that she's doing, and I really enjoyed talking to her. That's the end of season one of the podcast. I'm taking a short break to concentrate on work for my master's degree. But don't worry, you can head over to my Substack, where I'll be holding free mindful photography challenges and prompts every 2 weeks, plus a monthly meditation for all of my paid subscribers. You can also follow me on Instagram at capturing.calm. I'll be back in a few weeks' time with season two. And if you'd like to be a guest on the podcast, just get in touch. I'd really love to chat to you. Until next time, keep seeking beauty in the everyday. And remember, the world is waiting to be seen by those who are present.